Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unified, a podcast feed from First Church Belmont Unitarian Universalist. We'll be sharing sermons and stories, special thematic content made new every week. We're so glad you're here, and for more information about who we are and opportunities to grow and deepen, swing by the church on Sundays or check out our website at uubelmont.org. And for now, enjoy this new content.
So, once upon a time, there was a bee that was named Bartholomew Huggins III. But it was a cumbersome name, and so he just went by his first initial, which was B, which was also the kind of animal that he was, so that it was nice and tidy. He was so excited for the very first day, for his very first pollen mission. He had never been out before, but he had heard the stories, and he knew that it was his entire purpose for being. And the stories had come down about this one particular sunflower, the largest sunflower in a garden not too far off. And so he thought of the sunflower, imagined the sunflower. He visualized himself on the entire pollen mission. And sure enough, the day came, and it was better than he had ever imagined. Flying up to the sunflower, it was bigger than this wall comparatively, and he flew onto it, and every single one of the tiny little parts of the middle part of the blossom was just covered in pollen, and he gathered it and rolled around in it, and he was so excited and brought it back, and the whole honey machine was working, went back as soon as he could and got more and more, and first day was amazing, and the next day was amazing, and the next day was a tiniest little bit less amazing because there was less pollen, and then there kept being less and less pollen. And he still remembered when he flew up to it the very first time how incredible it seemed. And then slowly it was filled with seeds, and birds came and took away the seeds, and there was barely any pollen. And then he just had the memory of how wonderful it was back in the day, and then slowly the whole plant started to droop into the ground. It felt like it was dying, and then all of a sudden he was sad, and so he went to the birds who had also harvested all the seeds, and he convinced them that if they worked together, which they had never done before, the birds and the bees and even the praying mantises and other animals, that they could figure out a plan and somehow bring the whole sunflower back up to its initial height. And the little bee thought that once they had returned it to its initial height, then of course the pollen would come back and the seeds would come back. And the birds had very, very small brains. And so they agreed because it seemed compelling and they missed the seeds. They were delicious. So they hatched a plan. They stopped weaving their nest and they wove this long, long cord. And they brought in the butterflies even. And the butterflies distracted this well-meaning but totally galumphy sort of lab that lived in the backyard. And the butterflies flew past it and dog tried to bite it and started to chase after it. And just then, the bird swooped down with the cord they'd been making, tucked it up underneath the collar of the lab, and the lab chased after the butterfly, and it was thrown over a pulley that was attached to the sunflower, and it hoisted the sunflower up right back to its previous glory. It was just as tall as it was that very first day, and the birds tied it off on some lawn furniture, and the bee flew back onto it, and he just sat on the rim and waited. And of course, the pollen didn't come back, and the seeds didn't come back. And he sort of sadly buzzed bzz, bzz, to the ground. Just then, a very strange noise happened right behind him, kind of a, and a worm, a big, fat, juicy, wise-looking worm came up out of the ground, could see that the bee was sad, and said in sort of a muddy underground kind of voice, he said, "Come here, bee friend." And he scooped up some dirt, some black, incredible, fertile-looking dirt, and he said, "Lean in your head." And the bee did, and really gently, the worm with his tail touched the soil to the bee's head. And the bee had this entirely overwhelming vision where he could see not just that season and that sunflower, but he saw all the other sunflowers that had died and rotted back down into the soil and the seeds and the other bees even and other birds. And he saw the whole spectrum of all the life on earth. And he knew that there was nothing bad about that sunflower dying, and he could see it and feel it. And the worm pulled the soil away from the bee's head and kind of slurped back into the ground. And the bee felt so much better. And sure enough, it was just like that. Other sunflowers grew up in its place, and the whole cycle kept going on and on, all because he listened to the earth. Amen. So today is all about listening. Listening to the rock and listening to the soil and listening to all of this beautiful music. One of my earliest memories of singing in the children's choir in my own church way back in the day was being told to listen to all of the singers around me. This was probably, of course, because I was singing more loudly than I should have been, maybe. But I actually remember the moment that came next, where I could not only hear the part that I was singing, but that I could listen and hear the kids singing at the far ends and feel that my one part was woven with all of these other sounds. It was a beautiful moment. For me, lots of this teaching, lots of this listening, here especially, from you all and from other children, even way younger than you from before, grounds us in this thriving multi-generational community where we learn and listen from everyone. I wanted to share one last beautiful little poem by John Kenny that he wrote for his own two children, and it's called For Lulu and Hewitt. No offense to either of you, but I preferred the idea of kids to actual kids. Who needs kids of their own when you have 9 nieces and nephews? You get to be an uncle for a little while, and then you get to go home alone and sleep. I blame your mother and her beautiful face and deeply kind spirit, and her perfect answer to why she wanted children. Because I'm tired about worrying about myself, I want to worry about someone else. Can I tell you two a secret? I was afraid. I was afraid I wouldn't be good enough, too moody, too needy, too impatient, too selfish, too lacking. But then you were born, and you told me a secret. Dad, you whispered, all you have to do is watch me and listen to me and take my hand, and I'll teach you how to be a father. And then you spit up on my shirt. Every night, before you go to sleep, I lean down and whisper the same sentence. In a lifetime of questions and confusion, they are the truest words I know. I am so lucky to be your dad. To be sure, I have learned probably the most in life from my children, from my beloved. The path of parenting and fatherhood has stretched me in ways that I never knew possible. But just recently, I learned a beautiful thing that has helped in so many corners of life. I mentioned before, and I commend to you all again, a beautiful little children's book called The Rabbit Listened by Corey Dorfield. And in it, not to ruin the end, a bit of spoiler alert, but a little child is building this huge edifice with blocks, and it comes crashing down. And he's very sad, and he starts crying. And all of these different animals, one by one, come by, trying to make him feel better or distract him. Some come raging at the situation. Another comes ready to rebuild what has been broken. And the monkey comes trying to distract the little boy from his sadness. And then there's a rabbit who just slowly, gently sits next to the boy and is there, right there, not needing to fix anything or change anything. And the boy slowly breathes a little more deeply and slowly starts to feel better. So it was that my own child, my littlest, was in the midst of some kind of explosive moment, and I came to her, and I believe I veer towards monkey. And I was like, hey, all of these other wonderful things are happening. And she looked right in my eyes, and she said, Daddy, I don't need you to distract me. I just need you to sit with me here in this feeling. And I thought of that book, and I did. Sat right next to her and listened. And I tell you that because especially right now, with so much pulling at us in so many directions, with our students rising up in protest, with so much money being poured into the war machine, with our entire climate teetering on the brink. We can be the monkeys trying to distract. We can be the elephants trying to get right into the solutions. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in being also a little bit of the bunny and sitting with one another, sitting especially with our youth, with our young adult children, with our adult children, not needing to fix the challenges they're facing, but blessing them with the singular gift of our listening presence. Now and always. Amen.